power, hour.
It's the one
power, hour.
It's the who
power, hour.
Yeah, yeah. Black Hispanics and Native
power, hour.
It's the one
power, hour.
It's the who
power, hour.
Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, you cross out your eyes, we about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like how do we get out this low estate? We let the script prophesy, we bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you, precept upon precept. Line upon line, the script say with the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
It's the one.
Power, power.
It's the who.
Power, power.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
It's the one.
Power, power.
It's the who.
Power, power.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
It's the one.
Power, power.
It's the who.
Power, power.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Black Hispanics and Natives.
Power, power.
It's the one.
Power, power.
It's the who.
Power, power.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Black Hispanics, Hispanics.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History and Biblical Topics Power Hour Show. I am your host, Captain Aparium.
Hey, shalom. This is Officer Eleazar.
Officer Eleazar. Shalom, brother. No sign question.
Shalom, Cap.
Happy Sabbath to my brothers and sisters out there that are viewing today on the Sabbath and those that are viewing after the Sabbath. Shalom, peace, and blessings. All right. So, the topic of the show is the greatest history never told, history lynchings in America, KKKA, America. Okay. But I want to start with this image here. You know, it said that an image is worth a thousand words. And this image here speaks volumes. Of what? Let me start. Because again, you got to look at both sides, right? Yes, our oppressors are evil. The Caucasian men and women are evil. Mm-hmm. They went above and beyond what the Most High put in their spirit to do to us. And I say that because why did the Most High God have to do that to us through another nation, because it was prophecy that the other nations will be above us very high if we didn't keep the laws, statutes, and commandments.
Right.
Okay, so I'm the type of person, I look at things from all angles, because you have to.
Right.
Okay, if you don't, you're vain, okay, you're living a lie.
Right.
All right. Let's call a spade, right? Let's call it what it is, right?
Yes, sir.
We were never supposed to be in the conditions that we are in right now.
Right.
Okay? We were never supposed to be in the conditions right now. All right? But we are because of, as it says in Zechariah, our rebelliousness.
Yes, sir.
Okay? We were put into Egypt in captivity, okay, for over 400 years as a result of being wicked and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We were taken out after 400 years. Most High gave us mercy. And he explained to us, okay, because y'all corrupted for over 400 years, and because you went into that captivity because you refused to follow the law, statutes, and commandments, mm-hmm. I'm going to remind you one more time what you need to do to never go back into this bondage again.
Right.
Okay? I'm going to remind you one more time, and I'm going to make it very simple to you. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 is all you need to do.
That's it.
That's it.
It's simple.
Right. What we're preaching today, according to the Bible, we need to do so we can go back into our rightful place of rulership.
Right.
Right? But, remember, you always hear me say, nothing good comes after the words but or if.
Nope.
Okay, nothing good comes after that. Okay. But if you refuse to do 1 through 14, I got 15 through 68 for you.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. He's going to be so angry, he said, that I am going to give you, smack you up and down, left and right, 10 ways from Sunday.
He said, I'm going to beat you till you forget yourself.
I'm going to beat you till you forget yourself. And that's a very good point you bring up. I'm glad you brought that up because he said that we were going to forget ourselves.
Yes, sir. Damn.
He said that throughout the Bible. He said that to Nehemiah.
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah. We were going to discontinue from our heritage. Jeremiah was like, huh? When you look at this image, you see that the Most High and this Bible is true.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Because I'm going to speak from the 1970s, okay? Which is the era that I remember, okay? You started seeing some women wearing pants. Yeah, it was a lot more prominent in the 70s. But when you look at shows and stuff before that, that took place in the 60s, 50s, 40s, even in the islands, Puerto Rico, Cuba, Dominican Republic, et cetera, they wore dresses.
Right. It's crazy because even my wife's theas, they still wore skirts.
Right.
But there's some days I see them in pants. I'm like, oh, that's weird to me because I've been around the family for so long.
Yeah.
But when they start wearing pants, it's like, wow. Because, you know, the older school, you know, Issachars, you know, wore skirts, you know.
But not only the Northern Kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Southern Kingdom system.
Yeah.
All right. So it was understood. Deuteronomy 22 and 5 was understood.
Right.
Maybe not so much in this era because they were already separating from the Lord to an extent.
Right.
But they understood that a woman should dress like a woman.
Right.
Not like on a right-hand side, immodest. Okay? This is ridiculous.
That's disgusting.
This is ridiculous. I don't even find any of that attractive because some people shouldn't even be dressing like that. They don't have the body for that.
That's just like I don't care. That's like being a dog in heat on the right side. That's what it is. That's just disgusting. How can you say that you're trying to liberate yourself or respect yourself and if you're dressing like a prostitute 24/7? That's disgusting.
Right. And the picture on the left, she's a young woman. So right. it's not an old lady.
Right.
Okay, so I like what the caption says. When we were separate from everyone else,
yes.
Segregation, we were in order to an extent.
Yes, sir.
Because we weren't keeping all the laws, statutes, and commandments at this point, obviously, all right? But we understood modesty. We understood mm-hmm. that the woman is the woman, the man is the man, and that's it.
Right.
Children are children.
Children are children.
Right? Yes. I'm stressing that for a reason. So it says 1950s, young women, respect classy, didn't give her body up freely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then when we got integrated and we wanted to be loved by all the other nations, predominantly the Caucasian man and woman, mm-hmm. and we started assimilating,
mm-hmm.
okay, to Greek fashions like it happened in history. Right. There's nothing new under the sun. History right. repeats itself, right? The picture on the right is what we ended up having. That says 2010s, but we know it's gotten even worse.
And
just got to show you how long it's been, because this was even before 2010. Young woman, fast, no respect, half naked, open her legs to free.
Yeah.
All right. So.
I just want to touch on something.
Yeah, go ahead.
The opening her legs to free, that's not talking about they should be paid for it. It's talking about how they just give it up to anybody and everybody. So we just want to, you know, throw that out as well.
Hey, and again, I wasn't always in this truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be honest, okay? In high school, I'm going to use the right word for the whore.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. One whore,
mm-hmm.
AKA ho.
Ho. Yeah.
All right. And the majority of when I was in school, they were not about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They were not about that. They were brought up differently.
Right.
That's why I said there was one. You had one that everybody ran through.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'll leave it at that. But the majority, in fact, I remember growing up, and those of you that are from my generation remember that, you know, if a girl wasn't a virgin, you didn't even want to, like, be with her.
Right.
At least that's how I was back in New York.
Yeah.
Okay? It was like, yes, because you understood in your spirit she was defiled. You understand that? And
yeah.
It's crazy, right? When you look at the scriptures today, right? Now, again, in this truth, you're going to have sisters that repent that, you know, are not virgins. We get all that, right? Mm-hmm. Even in the scriptures and in our history in this Bible,
right,
that was the case, right? But those were for reasons like the husband died.
Yes.
Okay, or what have you. Or they were whoremongering, but then they repented.
Right.
Right. All things are, all creatures are new in Christ, right?
Yes, sir.
Like it says in the New Testament. So we get all of that. It's not going back to that life.
No.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right. Okay? So this is a result of this scripture right here.
The book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, again, this intertwines with the lynching part. You're going to see where I'm going with this in a minute there. All right, go ahead.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the laws of thy God, and I will also forget thy children.
All right, so in the 1950s, we still had some semblance of the laws of the Most High God.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And through integration, which is what Martin Luther King fought for, he didn't realize he was wrong, fighting for the wrong thing until almost he died, which is why they were like, okay, he woke up, now we got to kill him.
Right. He said, I feel like I integrated my people into a burning building.
Into a burning building, because he understood what was happening from the 1950s and what was going to have 2010s. He started seeing it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and, of course, Malcolm X and him started seeing more eye to eye towards the end, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So you have two types of people, right? Two types of Israelites, who are the blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, falsely so-called, or Native indigenous. I mean, let's not put it that, or indigenous people of what we know today as America. Bible calls ours of it. We, there's two types of us. We have the ones that, through integration, no longer know the law, statutes, and commandments, because in their respective churches, the law, statutes, and commandments,
right,
they speak gibberish or motivational, feel-good, smooth things speech.
Right.
Right? So that's where the lack of knowledge comes in. But then there's another type of Israelite.
Yes, sir.
What does the second part say? It says, because thou has rejected. So the first part is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I explain where that comes from, because the pastors, see, Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you pastors according to my heart. Okay? Those pastors that you have and have had for all these years are not after the Most High God's heart, because if they were, you would know you're an Israelite, number one.
Right.
You would know you're God's chosen, number two. You would know you're a special people amongst all nations, number three. You would know the law, statutes, and commandments. You would know that you don't dress like the picture on the right.
Right.
Okay? You dress on the picture on the left. And again, remember what I said. They were doing, they understood modesty, but she didn't have fringes.
Right.
Okay. So again, they were on their way out already.
Yeah.
All right. They were on their way out little by little. Esau was just turning on the flames.
That's heavy what you said, because 4:6 shows the difference between ignorance and arrogance.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Yeah. But ignorance is not a defense, right?
No, it's not.
Because Luke 12 says, even if you don't know, you're going to get, matter of fact, get that real quick. Hold what you got. Get that real quick. We got to bring that out, right? And I love this scripture, because I remember years ago, early in our walk, my wife, she was talking to a sister that she knew from back in the world, back in the Republic. And they were chatting about what social media they were chatting on. But she was like, oh, well, I don't know any of that stuff, so I'm good, basically.
Right.
There's a lot more. And my wife was like, no. She gave her the scripture, okay? And read it.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whosoever much is given, of him shall be much required.
So even though you don't know, still things are required of you by the Most High God. You're supposed to seek this knowledge. And it says that even if you don't know, read the top part again.
But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of strife.
So he that was ignorant, right, or refused to want to hear the law, statutes, and commandments, what?
Shall be beaten with few stripes.
You're still going to be beaten. But the Most High is going to have a little mercy. I mean, you're going to get punished. Okay. Meaning what? There's a very, very, very good chance you're not going to be part of the one third.
Yes,
and if you are, you will be made an example of in the wilderness. Okay. But that's a topic for another class. Okay. So that's what I wanted from there. So let's go back to Hosea 4:6. Read the top part again.
The book of Hosea, chapter 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge.
That's Deuteronomy 28:15-68. That's what that is right there. We rejected it. In the picture on the right, they rejected it. Because I guarantee you, the majority of those sisters, if not all of them, we tell them they're dressed out of order, they're going to want to fight us.
Yes.
They're going to reject it, like it says here. Okay? You don't own me, this and that. And then, right, comes the whole thing, right? And again, you know, this is a touchy situation. I get it, right? But then you got a brother that came out of prison, hasn't had sex forever, and that's right. The first thing he sees in the street, commits another crime unlawfully, right? Rapes one of these sisters, God forbid, right? And now... Oh, well, I could wear what I want to wear. It doesn't mean I hear you. And you're right.
Right.
Because he's evil as all get out as well.
Most definitely.
Okay. But you have to understand. Give me Romans 7:14. Here's what you have to understand.
The book of Romans, chapter 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual.
For we know that the law is spiritual. One of the laws is that a woman should wear modest apparel. A woman should not wear clothing that pertaineth to a man. A woman should not be revealing herself. Why? Because it's spiritual. That puts spirits on a man that hasn't had sex for ever almost.
Say 30 years.
Okay? And again, that's not always the case when you come out of prison, but, you know, and that's not always the case with somebody that comes out of prison. It could be somebody walking in the street.
Right.
You know, the devil jumps on people, and this is what we don't understand. That's another way where the lack of knowledge comes in. Okay? Yes, I get it. Trust me. That don't give you no any right to defile your sister and rape your sister.
No.
Absolutely not. Okay? But if you had knowledge, you would understand that the law is spiritual, and there's a reason why the Most High God says we should dress in modest apparel, just like it says in the picture there on the left. All right. They didn't give her body up freely. Respect. Classy. What does it represent on the right? Fast. And you cannot tell me, because I know some sisters that are going to be watching, they're going to be like, oh, well, I dress like that and I'm not like that. Nah, you know what? I kind of doubt that.
Right. If you're dressing like that, you want that type of attention.
Right. You want that type of attention because you wouldn't be dressed that way. I don't want to hear that's the style. No, it's not, because you know what? The style on the left was beautiful for that time, and the way our sisters that are repented dress today is beautiful for today's time.
That's right.
And you could still represent your beauty.
That's right.
And keep what's precious to you hidden until your husband, until you get a husband. The Most High blesses you with a husband. All right? So we know that the law is spiritual. Go back to Hosea.
The book of Hosea, chapter 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that that thou shalt be no priest to me.
Stop. So what is the knowledge? Give me Malachi 2:7. What is the knowledge that we lack in, and what is the knowledge that we have rejected? All right, the Bible's claim. It's straight to the point, man. All right, there's no, you cannot refute these scriptures. Give me a second, let me get it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
The book of Malachi, chapter 2:7. For the priest's lips keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth.
What is the knowledge?
The law. The law at his mouth.
All right. They shall seek the law. So your priests, your pastors should not be condoning this. And guess what? Some sisters go to church, dress very close to this.
Yes.
And sit in the very seats that the priest refuses to give them the knowledge. This is why I go back to Hosea 6 and read read it again.
The book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge, right? Because the priests, the men, the pastors, right? That's why they call pastors, because they're supposed to be take care of the sheep. Go ahead.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge.
And not only do they not give it to you, but they reject it. Because when we give it to you, the men of the Lord, the prophets of the Most High God, some of y'all reject it, okay, and say no. All right, I'm going to do me. I'm going to dress the way I want to dress. Go ahead.
I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me.
And he says, because of that, I'm going to reject you, that you ain't going to be no priest to me. So it's no surprise to me, and it shouldn't be a surprise to you, okay, albeit it is evil and part of the Caucasian man Esau's plan, all right, that these priests that are our people or that are not our people are not teaching us the law, statutes, and commandments, because they understand this. They understand the law is spiritual, and they understand that once we come back to the Lord, okay, as Israelite men and women in the faith of Christ, following the law, statutes, and commandments, that they're done. It's over. Which means what? That they really don't believe in this Bible, yet they make a career out of teaching this Bible.
Can I bring a scripture out?
The snake oil salesman.
Yes, sir. Can I bring a scripture out?
Yep.
Okay. The book of Micah, chapter 3, verse 11. Mm-hmm. The heads thereof judge for rewards, and the priests thereof teach for hire.
Teach for hire. Teach for money. Okay, go ahead.
And the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us.
So in other words, they're hypocrites and they're phonies, every single one of them. If they ain't teaching you, you blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, indigenous, falsely so-called, that number one, according to 1 Kings 8:46, you are an Israelite, that you should bethink yourself, remember who you are, because of that lack of knowledge that you have not been given, and to those that it was given to that you rejected, that you are an Israelite man and woman. Because you cannot repent as an African-American, as a Puerto Rican, as a Haitian, as a Mexican, as a Dominican. No, because that's not who you are. Those are your bywords. Right. You must repent as an Israelite man and woman. And that's spiritual, too, because guess what? Christianity, everybody so calls repenting as Puerto Ricans, Hispanics, blacks, African-Americans, and they're evil as hell. Why are they evil as hell? Because I know some people might say, oh, I'm not evil. I help people. I give donations. Okay, good. All right. But that's not what the conclusion of the whole matter is. Get me that in Ecclesiastes 12:13. What does God want from us? What is what he really want from us? And y'all in the Christian church are not doing it.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
This is Solomon, the wisest man on the earth, from the tribe of Judah. Okay? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Fear God and keep his commandments.
Uh-huh.
For this is the whole duty of men.
Why ain't your priest telling you that and your pastors?
Bring it out.
Why don't they bring that scripture out? You know why? Because they know it's going to have some explaining to do.
Exactly.
Some explanation has to come. Questions are going to come out of that verse. Because that verse is heavy. That's Genesis through Revelation right there.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
That's Genesis through Revelation in one verse. And all you need to do is seek out the prophets of the Most High God to know the full breakdown of that verse. Because there's a lot of meat, pounds and tens of thousands of pounds of meat in that verse. You just don't know where to find it. Because you're blind right now. You're blind and groping at noonday like the blind grope. You are blind because what Malachi 2 and 7 says. Read it again.
The book of Malachi, chapter 2 and verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge.
They're not giving you any knowledge. They're not telling you what I just told you in the last 3 minutes. Something very simple that would change your whole life, they're not telling you. Go ahead.
And they should seek the law at his mouth.
Uh-huh.
For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
They are the messenger of the Lord of hosts, and they are not giving the right message. But here in IUIC we are. The Most High in the Spirit. This is not us doing this. This is not a Captain Aparium doing this. This is the Spirit of the Most High that has come into me to bring this out, and all the other prophets in IUIC that teach.
Right.
This ain't about us individually. Mm-hmm. This is about us as a nation. The Most High is going to put the words in our mouths that our people need to hear to wake up. Okay? That's what it is. Don't get it twisted. All right?
That's crazy.
Go back to Hosea 4:6.
The book of Hosea.
Because we already know what the priests are supposed to do, right? What their task is. We just read it in Malachi 2:7, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay? But let's see what the result has come.
The book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6.
Because they have not done Malachi 2:7, go ahead.
My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge.
Uh-huh.
I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me.
So trust me, those pastors, priests, Catholicism, whatever, they ain't no priest to you. Because again, I was raised Catholic, and I'm going to tell you something. I was thinking of this on the way here today. They used to sing this real mundane because it's very morbid, the Catholic Church. All right. They would say, I'm not going to sing it because it's corny, but let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Mm.
So they would say that.
Wow.
Okay. As they were preparing the so-called body of Christ, the host, they call it, the crackers.
Wow.
Right. But hold on. This is what the mystery of faith, according to Catholicism, was. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Any substance in that? Okay. All right. So when all that happens, what's going to happen to me? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's.
No, the mystery of faith is Hebrews 11:1.
That's it.
The mystery of faith. Go ahead. Get that real quick. I'm still on the topic of the lynching. Trust me. We're going to get to that. Okay. But it's all relative. It's all everything in life that's going. Trust me when I tell you, everything that happens in life, in the world that we know today, is about the Israelites.
That's right.
Everything. It's designed to confuse the other nations and to confuse some of our people that are not part of the elect. But it's about everything that's going on in our world right now. Right. Stock market, housing. Right. It's all about us. Y'all can't see that right now. I pray that I can bring that out and y'all can see it from a spiritual. That's a spiritual thing.
That is.
You can't see it. Because from Genesis to Revelation, which is the history of the world from the beginning to the present and what's going to happen in the end,
right,
is about the Israelites. That's super deep. Okay, y'all are not seeing that. But I pray that you do through these classes, through all the classes that IUIC brings out, through all the leadership brings out, that y'all see this. That's what our point is. That is what Malachi 2:7 is. This is what we're doing. That's what Jeremiah 3:15 is. This is what we're doing.
Yes, sir.
Hold that. Give me that real quick. All right, we got new people on here. I know. And to our first-time viewers, welcome.
To Jeremiah 3:15?
Yes. Welcome to our first-time viewers. This is the first time. We hope you're getting edified. Go ahead.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 15.
Because Hosea 4:6 has happened, meaning that we lack knowledge because, let's reverse engineer this, right? Because the priests, pastors who were ordained or put there, okay, by the powers that be, and know, some of them know that it's what they're teaching is wrong because they refuse to teach us who we are and what we need to do to get everlasting salvation.
Bring it out, Cap.
This is where we at.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to my
heart. The Most High God said, I'm going, because of all of that, you're not getting fed right. Y'all are famished. I'm going to give you pastors according to my heart. The heart of the Most High God is the Bible. Heart, according to Mark 7:21, is the mind. The Bible is the mind of the Most High God in words. So he read it at the top again. So he said what?
And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
So now he's going to bring the true prophets on the earth in these last days to give you what?
Knowledge and understanding.
Knowledge and understanding. Knowledge of who you are. Knowledge of what you need to do to get everlasting salvation the right way according to the Most High God's heart. Okay, and what else? Knowledge and?
Understanding.
And understanding, because you can have all the knowledge of the world, right? Y'all have had this Bible in your possessions for years, for generations, but you have no understanding of it. Not until these prophets came today on the earth to bring the knowledge
and give you the understanding. Because knowledge is power only if you use it. And the only way you could use it is if you know how to use it. And the only way you're going to know how to use it is by the prophets telling you who you are and what you need to do to get everlasting salvation. That's right. That's it. There's no other two ways about it. It's point and simple, very simple like that. The only part of that equation is you need to go ahead and accept it. Because there's a saying. If your beliefs, if facts do not confirm your beliefs, you will never accept it. Y'all often hear me say, I can't teach anybody anything. I can only make you think.
Right.
That's all I can do.
You can take a horse in water, but you can't make him
drink
it.
Right. All those adages is true. All right. But I can't teach anyone anything. All I could do is make you think, and you have to come to the decision if it's the Most High's will.
Right.
Because many are called, a few are chosen. All right, where are you?
Jeremiah.
Did you finish that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, so let's go back to Hosea 4:6 one more time, and then we're going to get into the rest of the topic.
Book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the laws of thy God, I will also forget thy children.
I will also forget thy children. All right. But we know that, again, according to Hosea 5:15, I will go to my, get that real quick. But the Most High is a merciful God, right? And he loves us regardless, but we got to do right. All right. And until we do right, and a Revelation 7 is fulfilled, 12,000 from each tribe, 144,000 of the men are sealed with this. This isn't going to happen.
The book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense.
And they're going
to
acknowledge that through the men that are teaching this. I brought that out already, that are teaching you your true nationality, the laws, statutes, and commandments, and that you must do them. Go ahead.
And seek my
They're commandments. They're not suggestions. Go ahead.
And seek my face. In their afflictions, they will seek me early.
And the only way the Most High is going to allow you to seek his face is if you're doing Ecclesiastes 12:13.
That's it.
The conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep the commandments. That's the whole duty of man, the verse says. All right? So now, producer, can we go ahead and let's put the history of lynchings of Mexican Americans. So as a result of everything that we brought out, the Most High God continues to punish us, has and will continue, until we're all, the Revelation 7 comes to pass. 144,000 of the men sealed with the law, statutes, and commandments and the true nationality. Hold on, don't play it yet. Okay? So Deuteronomy 28:15-68, which is what we brought up. This is a result of it. This is a result of it. Okay? And they should have it on the TVs, the radio show. Okay? All right, officer?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead, play.
Well, anyway, this is what I wanted to show you, because it is considered by many to be the most famous tree in all of Texas.
Okay. This is the famous hanging tree of Goliad County. It was a site of extrajudicial executions. In other words, this is where they lynched Mexicans.
How many Mexicans were there?
Stop, producer, stop.
90.
Stop. In case you missed that, okay, and I want you to rewind it so we can hear that part again. This brother, okay, is saying this is where they lynched Mexicans. Now, when you hear lynching, right, what is that synonymous with? Primarily the so-called African-Americans, right? But hold on a second here. All right, let's not forget what the title here of this YouTube video is. You put the disclaimer and everything, producer?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It says history of lynchings of Mexican Americans. Now, I've gone over in previous classes where the conquistadors went to Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, or the Caribbean, North Central and South America, and they lynched us too. They hung us. Okay, give me that in Lamentations. They hang us by their hands. Okay, just get it. I don't want you to get it yet, but just, you know, get it, but I don't want you to bring it out yet. Okay, just remind me to bring it out. I don't want to forget. All right, so that was always been the Caucasian man's method to execute us and punish us. All right, and you're hearing it from a real-time account. Go ahead.
In other words, this is where they lynch Mexicans.
This is where they lynch Mexicans on that tree.
Some say 80, 90, 100, but we really don't even know. And
stop.
Of course,
she says some say 80, 90, but we really don't know. First of all, that's just that tree. Right? Now, you got to listen real close. When you go forward, man, you brothers and sisters, man, that are in the process of repenting, which we all are, myself included, regardless of how many years you got in this truth, it's a process. You're repenting. You haven't repented and that's it. No. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tribulations. You're going to be proven. Okay? It's a process, repentance. Repentance means to come back. And we're coming back. And to prove that is Revelation 7. We ain't going to be fully repented until Revelation 7 takes place. Until we're in the final place of our rightful place of rulership in the kingdom. So it's a process. Every single one of us, okay, are repenting.
Right.
It's an action. Past tense. We're repenting. Present tense. Okay? So he's saying this is just there, that area, 80, 90. But then he also said we don't even know how many. Go ahead.
On the other side of there is a famous whipping post where they would tie Mexicans and other people, blacks, and whip them.
Stop.
For
they did the same thing to Christ. They tied him to a post. And they hit them with the, what is it, cat of nine? Is that what it's called, I think? With the whip that has the metal pieces at the end?
Yeah,
shards.
Yeah.
That's their M.O. When they hung us, remember, if y'all watched my previous shows that I did regarding the conquistadors, Bartolome de las Casas, it says they hung them by 13. 12 for the disciples and one for Christ, 13. They knew who we were, so they would torture us the same way like they did our Lord and Savior, the Black Messiah. Go ahead.
Transgressions against the social order over there.
Rewind that. Go back. Why did they claim they did this? The Caucasian man, Esau. The biblical name is the Esau. Go ahead.
Transgressions against the.
No. Go back a little more. Go back.
Where they would tie Mexicans and other people, blacks. And whip them.
They will tie Mexicans and other people, blacks, right? Our brothers, the Southern Kingdom and Northern Kingdom. Give me Jeremiah 50:33 real quick.
Yes, sir. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 50, verse 33. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah.
Northern and Southern Kingdom.
Were oppressed together.
Blacks, Hispanic, and Americans oppressed together. Go ahead.
And all that took them captive, held them fast. They refuse to let them go.
They refuse to let us go. We're seeing that in present time. But we're breaking that. All praises to the Most High God as we speak through this Bible and through his word, his spirit.
Right. Go
ahead.
For transgressions against the social order.
Stop. Were those transgressions against the social order? More than likely, they wanted to live. They didn't want to assimilate.
Right.
Okay? They wanted to live their culture, their heritage. And the Caucasian man said, nah, it ain't happening. Okay? You're God's chosen. We know that in the spirit, whether we know it exactly or not, something tells us that you're different. Okay? So we're going to go ahead, and the Most High put in their spirit to torture us like this and kill us. Go ahead.
There, we have a tree where it is said that they hung the blacks. Because
stop. It's no coincidence. Issachar, the Mexicans on one side, and the African-Americans on the other side of the street. About 200 yards maybe apart, or 100 yards apart from each other. They even try to divide us in our murders.
Right.
You notice that, man? That just hit me right now.
Right.
Why did they hang us on the same tree? Because, again, they wanted to keep that Willie Lynch segregation, that separation, that mentality.
Because you're going to sit there and focus on that tree where your people are at, and we're going to focus on the tree where our people are at.
But we still got to kill y'all.
Exactly. But if you would have put us together, they would have sat there and be like, you know what? They
something ain't right here,
something,
man.
Something ain't right here. Why is it only happening?
That's that divide and conquer thing right there, bro.
That's crazy.
Yo, that's crazy right there, that's man. Crazy. Think about that, man. Why couldn't they put them on the same? They hate us, both. They hate us either way. That's that mentality. They had to put that divide and conquer thing in there, man.
Right.
Even in our death, they divided and conquered us, man. See the evil of this man?
Right.
Go ahead.
I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Even, you know, in Texas, we had standards. You can't lynch a black person from the same tree that you lynch a brown person. You know, it just ain't fitting.
Stop. See, that's lack of knowledge. It ain't fitting. This Israelite man right here, who doesn't know he's an Israelite man, right, the one talking, said it ain't fitting. Something ain't right.
Exactly. Damn.
And he's talking to his very own oppressor.
Yeah, he is.
His very own oppressor is interviewing him. And he's saying, something ain't right. It just don't make sense. Go ahead.
I mean, this is the kind of crazy racism that fueled all this. And why? It was economics. And it was also the fact that they wanted our land. They, in fact, they came here to take our land, and they were very successful. It's a tourist.
Stop.
Now
he's
that's crazy.
Give me Ciroc, six. You know what I want? Iso's the end. Because he said they didn't know why, right? It was economics. No. Here's the reason why. What?
Yeah, this is a new one.
Oh, so you don't have it.
First Ezra 6:56.
Ezra's right. Okay. There you go. Yes, that's just Ciroc. I'm sorry, man.
It's first or second.
Yep.
6:56.
Thank you, producer.
Here's the reason why.
The book of First Ezra, chapter 6, verse
56.
There's no 56.
No, 36. Hold on. I got 1,000,001 scriptures in my head right now. My mind is racing. Hold on. I got it for you. I got it. It's 6 and... Hold on a second. Second Ezra. 6 and 9.
Second Ezra, chapter 6.
Actually, start at 8.
Book of Second Ezra, chapter 6.
No, start at 7. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let me put the 16:11 down because them eyes is looking like J's.
Okay. Second Ezra 6, let's start at 7. Here's the reason why. Maybe you say you don't know why, but I'm telling you, here's the reason why. It's in the spirit.
The book of Second Ezra, chapter 6.
Start at 7.
Verse 7. Then answered I and said, what shall be the parting asunder of the tongue?
So what's going to happen in the last days? What's going to happen in the end? What's going to be the conclusion of the whole matter?
Or when shall be the end of the first?
Meaning that you got to read slower. Sorry. Okay, you're going over stuff. This stuff. It says, then answered I and said, what shall be the parting asunder of times? Or when shall the end of the first, right? Meaning Esau's rulership. Go ahead.
And the beginning of it that followed.
All right, remember the question that he asked? And Mosiah is going to give him the answer right now. Go ahead.
And he said unto me, from Abraham unto Isaac.
From Abraham unto Isaac.
When Jacob and Esau were born of him. Jacob's hand held first the heel of Esau.
Okay, go ahead, because Jacob in the spirit understood as an infant, understood as a child, as a newborn, understood in the spirit what the prophecy was. Go ahead.
For Esau is the end of the world.
Uh-huh.
And Jacob is the beginning of it that followed.
And that's what he said they don't understand. That's the reason why they're doing that, because they're trying to prolong the inevitable.
Right.
They're trying to prolong the inevitable. They're trying to prevent it. It's a fixed fight. Isaiah 46:10 says, declaring the end from the beginning. Most High God already had this whole play, okay, to paint the picture written at the beginning.
Right, right.
He knew who the antagonists were going to be. He knew who the protagonists were going to be, using theatrical references, mm-hmm. okay, movie references.
Right.
And he knew who was going to prevail in the end, and knows who's going to prevail in the end.
Right now, we're at the climax.
Right.
The climax.
Climax. It's climactic right now. That 11th hour is climactic. Very climatic. Right. Climatic. Yes. Good point. Go ahead.
Here, everything's named Hanging Tree around here. But, I mean, when you really think about it, it should give you the creeps. Back then, of course, a hanging was a big community event. The little boys would climb to the adjacent trees to get a good view. People would bring picnic baskets. They would make a day out of it.
Do you hear the evil? That's why Habakkuk says their spirit ain't upright. And them little kids, trust me, man, it was eating my kids.
Yeah.
He didn't want to say it.
Right. The same eating my kids that raised eating my kids, that raised eating my kids that we have today.
Right.
Right.
And you got people going back to, right. Oh, man.
That's ridiculous.
Captain Amariah brought out a class out on the Power Hour on Wednesday by Juneteenth. Don't even get me started on that, man.
Stockholm.
Putting our people back to sleep again. They made it a national holiday.
He literally talking to the grandson.
right.
of the people.
Right.
That
That's why he
people.
Got shades on. You ever notice they always wear shades?
Cause
they don't want you to see them, bro. They wear
right.
shades all the time, Esau.
Yeah, there's a sparkle in his eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Me.
Besides the fact that they got a little melon, so the sun jacks their asses up.
Right.
All right. They wear it, man, because they're always up to something. They're scheming, bro. Remember, the scripture says they got to remember they're the spirit of Cain, right? The scripture says that they will be fugitive and vagabonds.
They're wiser than Daniel.
Right. Right, but fugitive and vagabonds, man. You wear shades like that when you don't want to be seen. You don't want to be revealed.
Right.
Like a fugitive and a vagabond.
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead.
Juvial affair. Of course, this is for the white people.
Juvial affair.
People, Mexicans.
Wait. Rewind that a little bit. Go back about 20 seconds, bro. Y'all got to hear what he said. Okay?
I mean, when you really think about it, it should give you the creeps. Back then, of course, a hanging was a big community event. Little boys would climb to the adjacent trees to get a good view. People would bring picnic baskets. They would make a day out of it. It was like a big jovial affair. Of course, this is for the white people. The black people and Mexicans weren't going to come to this because, they were... The object of it was to instill terror in their lives.
This is horrible. Mm. You know?
Yeah. It is horrible. It is what it is.
Gray hairs are on their head and they know it not. This man don't even know what he's talking about. The rabbit hole goes with what he's talking about. Go ahead, play.
It is what it is.
The events that took place here in Goliad weren't unique.
Look at this. You Arizonians, watch.
Over the next 70 years, there were 871 documented lynchings
documented
of Americans in 13 western states.
Look at Arizona. Look. California,
the
liberal state.
Found in the rest of the Southwest didn't compare to the horror of South Texas.
Look
in a single decade, from 1910 to 1920, historians estimate as many as 5,000 Mexican Americans were murdered in a brutal wave of terror and mass executions. In proportion to their numbers, Mexicans were lynched in the West as often as blacks were lynched in the South.
Stop. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear that? Give me Jeremiah 50:33 again, man. Come on, brothers and sisters, man. You blacks of Spanish Native America, y'all need to wake the hell up and come back to your true nationality, man, because we only as strong as our weakest link. We only as strong if we come back together, as the Bible says, under one nation. And it ain't physical, spiritually, by doing what we just read in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God and keep the commandments. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. Come back to your true heritage, brothers and sisters. Go ahead.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 50, verse 33.
And that's perfect that you left it right there, producer. Go ahead. I want them to see that. All right? Because you so-called Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Cubans, El Salvadorians, Guatemalans, Colombians, Venezuelans, y'all need to realize that y'all the children of God, man. Y'all the Israelites the Bible speaks of. And this happened to every single one of us, our brothers and sisters, both black and brown. Go ahead.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go.
All right. So we're out here letting you know who you are. That's why, so that this could be prevented and stopped. Because this prophecy, it will. Give me Isaiah 11:13. Because this needs to stop, like yesterday, and it will, because this is why it's in the scriptures.
11:13.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 13. They envy also Ephraim shall depart, and the adversary of Judah shall be cut off.
Stop. When it says Ephraim, that's talking about all of the northern kingdom, all the Hispanic and indigenous tribes, and Judah is talking about the southern kingdom, which is the so-called African-Americans, Haitians, and Jamaicans. Go ahead. It says what? That envy and hate is going to be cut off. That's prophecy. Go ahead.
Ephraim shall not envy Judah.
Northern kingdom is not going to envy Judah, which envy is not just another word for hate. It's a secret hate. Go ahead.
And Judah shall not vex Ephraim.
Vex means hate. They're not going to hate us, the northern kingdom, anymore. Why? Because we're bringing this out. We're bringing that we're the same people. the same thing. No other nation. The scripture says no other nation has gone through the atrocities, and I'm paraphrasing, that we have gone through as blacks and Hispanics and Native Americans.
You guys have to understand, we got force of a language, force of religion, and force culture. Everything that we know now today was forced upon us due to slavery.
Right. Whoever's in control dictates the history and how it's brought out.
Exactly.
Okay? This is why when we go back to our rightful place of rulership, all praises to the Most High God, Lord willing, we all make it, right? We're going to, history is going to be rewritten. The scripture talks about that. It's no longer going to be written about the Israelites that were taken out of Egypt.
No.
It's going to be written by the Israelites that were taken out of America when America gets destroyed by thermonuclear destruction according to the scriptures.
That's right.
That's what the Bible says.
Praise.
Okay? Go ahead. Finish that up, and then let's go to the next video. This is terrible, man. Look at this.
That's terrible.
And you know what? This is, again, this is the Most High in the spirit, man, bringing these things out, man. All right? Nobody knew this.
No.
I guarantee you the majority of our people don't know this. I'm both, in both kingdoms.
Right. Some believe that they're white, and the other side believe that the Hispanics got their own land, so they never been oppressed. That's ridiculous.
Yo, y'all saw the Arizona, right?
Right. Arizona was black.
And California.
Black, yeah.
As liberal, oh, they're liberal, right?
Liberals, yeah.
And Texas. Damn.
That's crazy.
Hey, Mr. Pedusa, make sure you post those links in there. I want everybody to see that at their leisure.
Yes, sir.
Let's put the next video. I'm going to try to stay quiet so y'all can watch it.
Everything we know about Carmelita Torres is from a few newspaper accounts in 1917. They called her an auburn-haired Amazon, just 17 years old. She led angry women in anti-American rioting and shut down the U.S.-Mexico border. But hidden within her story is something
pause,
much
producer,
bigger
because
than
I
a single
got,
riot.
Pause. I got a message that it's Facebook. Has Facebook been showing everything that we've been going over? I've got a message that is not showing on Facebook.
It should be showing on Facebook. Let me double check.
That's me. Sorry about that. It should be showing?
Yes, sir.
Okay, with the disclaimers and everything. Okay, got you. Okay, you're good. You're good. Thank you, brother. I just got a message that said that. All right, go ahead.
It's a story about American paranoia at the border, about a toxic campaign of disinfection and discrimination, and a U.S. practice that would go on to inspire Nazi scientists. At the border between El Paso, Texas, and Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, thousands of people cross back and forth for work and school every day. They line up in Juarez and often wait for hours to get through the U.S. checkpoint. But the border didn't always look like this.
Crossing this border used to be free and unrestricted. People would come and go without a passport. But after 1917, Juarez and El Paso became two separate communities.
It was a turbulent year at the border. The Mexican Revolution was ongoing, and the U.S. was about to enter World War I.
So all of a sudden, you have the war hysteria created by World War I. People here in El Paso that are deadly afraid that the Germans are going to attack from Ciudad Juarez.
The fear of invasion brought tensions to the border, while across the U.S., a different movement was gaining strength. The eugenics movement, based on junk science, aimed to create a genetically and morally superior population. That meant stricter controls on immigration, only allowing those deemed fit to enter. On Ellis Island, one of the busiest ports of entry at the time, U.S. health officials were tasked with weeding out immigrants they thought were unfit or disease carriers. And across the country, that process coincided with the stereotyping of Mexicans as inferior and unclean. Dozens of film titles included the word greaser, a derogatory term used to describe Mexicans. This racist sentiment was strong at the U.S.-Mexico border. El Paso's mayor, Tom Lee, had developed an obsession with cleanliness, and it defined his political platform.
This obsession with not only racial purity, but physical purity. He was going to literally clean up El Paso from all these bad elements. And by bad elements, he often meant racially bad elements.
One of Mayor Lee's biggest fears was a disease called typhus, spread by lice. So under the pretense of sanitary betterment work, he helped lead a campaign to inspect every house in a predominantly Mexican neighborhood. If the inspectors found lice, occupants were forced to take vinegar and kerosene baths, have their heads shaved, and clothing burned. Hundreds of homes were eventually destroyed. Lee also expanded the supposed health measures to include inmates in the El Paso jail.
They had to strip naked, take a bath inside a tub full of kerosene, and on one occasion, it seems somebody lit a match.
27 prisoners, majority Mexican.
That was not an accident. These same people are the same ones that hung children on trees that we saw in the previous video. And were watching. Their spirit ain't upright, her book of Habakkuk says. Man, they take joy and pride in this. Okay? Trust me when I tell you, and I've said this at length a lot of times. If slavery was still around today, they would partake in it. The very same Becky or Karen, like they call them. Okay, what do they call the Caucasian version of that today? Bob. Let's just say Bob. Okay? They will embellish it today. I mean, they would relish it today. They would take it in. They would do it. They would still have us in captivity, damn it, is the point I'm making. Okay? It's the Most High that has put laws in this land to limit certain things, certain atrocities. Go ahead.
Hey, so if you look
right
here.
Stop. Go ahead.
There was a Negro that was burned too.
Of course. We're pressed together, the scripture said. Come on, man.
That's crazy.
Wow. You see, look at that. You see how they go? Yeah, I see that. 28 years old.
Or Mexican American burned to death in the fire that the newspapers called the Jail Holocaust. But despite the tragic fire, Mayor Lee pushed forward with even more aggressive plans.
He sent a telegram, a Western Union telegram, to Rupert Blue, who was the Surgeon General up in Washington, D.C. And basically, well, let me just read it. Hundreds of dirty, lousy, destitute Mexicans arriving at El Paso daily will undoubtedly bring and spread typhus unless a quarantine is placed at once.
The government didn't agree to a full quarantine because evidence suggested that typhus wasn't a major threat in the area. But instead, they funded a new disinfection plant at the border in 1916.
Stop.
In this facility...
Notice it mentions quarantine there. Okay, let's nothing new under the sun. Let's look at what's going on here. Remember what I said, the book... Oh, everything in the world is about the Israelites. Everything in the world is about the Israelites. I'll leave that at that. Okay, y'all look at that in the spirit. Go ahead.
Every immigrant considered a second-class citizen had to strip naked. Their clothes were sent to a large steam dryer and then fumigated with toxic pesticides inside the gas room. An inspector would check each person's body, including private parts, for lice. If they found lice, immigrants would have to shave their head and body hair and bathe in a mix of kerosene and vinegar. Some even had their eyelids checked for things like pink eye, and many had to complete puzzles or simple IQ tests to prove that they were fit for entry. After this process, they'd receive a ticket as proof that they were disinfected, but they would need to go through this every 8 days in order to re-enter.
What it says there. Vaccinated. Okay, again, look at things in the spirit with everything that's going on. Stop right there. Give me Job 30 because it said that they said that we were disgusting, right? Dirty, right? It used a lot of negative, right? Is that what they said?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Okay. Well, let's see who really is the dirty ones and disgusting and everything according to the Most High God.
The book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 30, verse 1. But now, they that have that are younger than
Read it slow and go over every word.
Yes, sir. But now, they that are younger than
younger meaning lesser, they that are lesser then I, this is Job, an Israelite speaking, go ahead.
Have me in derision.
They have us in derision, and we're seeing it right here. They're like, they're lesser than us, and I'm below beneath them? Go ahead.
Whose father I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock.
All right, it's the disdain that they're low like dogs, and Christ even said even the dogs, the woman even said in Matthew 15:24. Even dogs.
Even dogs
eat from the crumbs.
Yes,
all right? They are dogs. All right? Go ahead.
Yea, where too might the strength of their hands profit me, and whom old age was perished.
Uh-huh, whom old age was perished. It's going to explain what he's talking about here. How would they perish? Go ahead.
For want and famine, they were solitary.
Solitary.
Fleeing into the wilderness.
Into the wilderness. When we beat their behind, we sent them into the Caucasus Mountains. The wilderness. Go ahead.
Fleeing into the wilderness in former times, desolate and waste.
Uh-huh. That's why we read Obadiah says they will come back. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Who cut up mellows by the bushes and juniper roots for their meat.
It says who cut up mellows by the bushes and juniper roots for their meat. They were the cavemen. They ate whatever was in the wilderness. They didn't bathe. You read the Arthur Koestler's The 13th Tribe. They wore their clothes until it disintegrated off of their bodies. And they were cleaning us with kerosene and stuff. No, man. But they said we were dirty. Go ahead.
They were driven forth from among men.
They were driven forth from among men far, far, far away. Go ahead.
They cried after them as after a thief.
Uh-huh.
To dwell in the cliffs of the valley.
In the cliffs of the valleys. Hence, we have Petra. Okay, Mount Seir. It's called Petra today. It was Mount Seir back then. Now, you see the pictures all the time in Indiana Jones. What is it? The Gray Skull? Was that the one?
The Crystal Skull.
Crystal Skull. I think that was the one it was in. It shows where they live.
Yes,
in the caves. Says they put them to the cliffs. They're the cavemen. Go ahead. Bush people, right. Go ahead.
And caves of the earth. In caves of the earth.
In caves of the earth. They're the cavemen, Job is telling us here. They're the Neanderthals, the Cro-Magnons. Y'all ever get a chance, man? There's no talking in it, but there's a movie, old movie called Quest for Fire. All right? You watch that. You're going to see who Esau is, and then you're going to see who Jake is. Because Jake is in there. I'm not going to tell you about it. Maybe I'll break that movie down one day. In the spirit, I'll go ahead and look at some scripture, because Israel's in there, but they depict them as a wild person, and it's a woman, of course. Y'all that seen it, y'all need to go back and watch it again. Quest for Fire, I think it's free on HBO, free on YouTube. Go ahead.
To dwell in the cliffs of the valleys, in the caves of the earth, and in the rocks. Among the bushes they braid. Under the nettles they were gathered together. They were children of fools.
Talking about Esau here still. Don't lose the point.
Yea, children of base men.
The Most High calls them base men. This is why there's another scripture that says that he has put base men over us as presidents, etc. Go ahead.
They were viler than the earth.
Viler than the earth. Go ahead.
And now. Am I their song?
And now we're their song. They chastise us, calling us dirty. Okay, they talk about us. Okay, that's what he's talking about. And now we're at the bottom. They're like this, and look how they treat us now. Go ahead.
Right. Yea, I am their byword. They abhor me. They
hate me. Go ahead. Abhor means hate. Go ahead.
They flee far from me.
Uh-huh. They flee far from us. You just watched the movie Them. Right. They got mad when Jake moved into the neighborhood. And that was Compton.
Yeah.
Who's Compton full with now? Our people.
Yes, sir.
All right? So they fleed. That's all scriptural, man. Spiritual. Go ahead.
And spare not to spit in my face.
And they spare not to spit in our face, to hang us, to wash us with kerosene baths, light us with matches, burn us. That's all I want from there. Go ahead, play the video. They're the freaking
cavemen. So many people didn't speak about it. They didn't talk about this humiliating process. Like, they kind of internalized it. It's that psychology of shame.
The toxic baths and dehumanizing inspections at the border set the stage for a revolt. led by the 17-year-old maid from Juarez who defied the order to bathe.
Carmelita Torres was, I've compared her to the Rosa Parks of the border. In the morning of January 28, 1917, there's this electric trolley full of mostly women that are crossing every day. She convinces the majority, if not all, of the women in that trolley to just say no and to refuse. They start a spontaneous protest.
There are accounts that in addition to the humiliating delousing procedures, for women, there was also sexual humiliation.
There were rumors that, you know, when they entered the plant and then they were told to strip, officers were taking their photos and then posting them in bars. So I can't even imagine the kind of feeling, like the feelings of violation and the feelings of, you know, outrage.
She was called an instigator, a ringleader, you know, but she was just a young woman that was just sick of the injustice, of the humiliation that other women had gone through.
What started with just 200 protesters that morning slowly grew to a crowd of 2,000. Reporters said the scene reminded one of bees swarming. The hands of the feminine mob would claw at the tops of the passing cars. When the American officers tried to disperse the crowd, they were met with bottles, rocks, and insults. Protesters even laid down on the tracks in front of the trolley cars to create a blockade. They were joined by men in what's called the Bath Riots, and they shut down this border for 2 days.
And then all you hear is that the ringleaders are arrested, and a few of the men are publicly executed.
As for Carmelita Torres,
it appears like she was thrown in prison, and as historians, we don't know what happened to her afterwards. We've lost every trace.
The fumigations didn't stop after the riots. In 1917 alone, over 100,000 Mexicans were deloused at the border. That same year, an immigration law made border procedures even more rigid. Immigrants at all points of entry needed to have a passport, take a literacy test, and many would have to pay an $8 head tax. And later that year, the U.S. Public Health Service laid down instructions for border agents about who should be kept out of the country.
Imbeciles, idiots, feeble-minded persons, physical defectives, persons afflicted with loathsome or dangerous contagious diseases.
The discriminatory policies at the border resembled horrific events elsewhere in the world.
All right, so now this is where they try to go ahead and try to give sympathy to the so-called Holocaust that happened with the fake Jews. Okay, so y'all can watch the rest of this on your own. That was the main part I want to get to, but this is where, and I encourage you to watch this so you can see the hypocrisy and the lies and the bamboozlement, okay, that they always got to throw in this so-called Holocaust that happened.
Right.
Okay, there's a movie on YouTube. I don't know if it's still on there. It's called The Greatest Story Never Told, something like that. It's about Hitler, okay, and how a lot of the historical facts of what happened supposedly with the Nazis and the fake Jews, how that it didn't really go down like that. Okay, and they talk about the Balfour Declaration in there and everything.
This is heavy, Cap, because basically, like you said, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that the mayor was saying was the exact same thing Donald Trump was saying.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Exactly.
That's
thing.
A good point, man. That's why he was put there, man.
Right.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, this rabbit hole goes so deep, man. That's what I'm saying, man. Everything that goes on in the world is about us.
It is. Everything. Every little detail. It's about keeping us down, keeping us keep on repenting.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time. It's a,
and don't sprinkle stuff like this in there. Don't throw
right.
other nations.
Put you right back to sleep.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah. You trying to. This,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You watch this video,
yeah,
you
yeah.
started getting that knowledge.
Yeah. That's how, that's how they're doing these things. Because remember, they have editors.
Right.
And when the intentions, the editor's going to be like, nah, okay, I like this. And this is true, but you got to add this in there, too. Anyway, let's just finish one more time with Jeremiah 53. All right, we'll finish with this scripture, man. And brothers and sisters, man, understand what we're in, man. Understand, man, you blacks, Hispanics, and indigenous, man. Y'all the Israelites the Bible speaks of, man. Go ahead.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 50, verse 33. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast.
They refuse to let them go.
They refuse to let us go, man. All right. Captives is the main thing you want to get out of that. All right.
Right.
So hope you brothers and sisters were edified. And the links are going to be, put the links in the description, producer, as well, to the videos, not only in the chat because they could get lost there. Put it in the description as well. And pray you enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Lego.
Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We
got
back.
The nations running scared because Israel is back. All lies on us because we keeping them low.
When
the Lord returns, Babylon will fall. Preach
solid.
Solid. We got them on lock.
In fact,
God's chosen people with Christ as our rock. Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We back.
You heathen geeks are ready for our whip to crack. Israel is back. The dragon is wroth because we're fleeing from sin and now we're bearing our cross.
You know, it's so important, man. You got to present this to our people, man. Our people are visual. You got to paint the picture. You got to present it to them, you know, accordingly, man.
Don't worry. I'm working on it. I'm
yeah,
working
crazy,
on it.
Don't no, no, they're good, man.
Working on those things. Hey, they need to be quiet.
Yeah, that's
this is already the second time that I've...